This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services.
This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast. I must thank you for choosing this weekly SME show as your preferred platform to delve into the important issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. I am your host, Akona Machoba. This week, I thought it important to have a look at the potential regulation that looms for short-term rental accommodation providers operating within our borders. So just to give you a quick backstory, on the 30th of August, the Department of Tourism put out a green paper on the development and promotion of tourism in SA and opened this up to the public for comment. For the most part, the document looks to improve and modernize existing legislation by improving governance and transformation while also promoting economic prosperity for the sector. However, what is new in this document is the Tourism Department's interest in the regulation of the short-term rental accommodation market. This will ultimately impact how popular accommodation sharing platforms like your Airbnb and Booking.com, for example, operate. In the green paper, by citing various examples of routes other governments have taken in addressing the regulation dilemma, the department toys with the following: implementing a regulation system to track property owners or hosts and their listings, imposing fines for hosts operating outside of the proposed regulations, imposing limits to the length of short-term rentals, as well as limiting the permitted number of listings owned by a single owner within a particular area. Those wishing to have their say on the matter would have had up until Tuesday, the 31st of October, to do so. So that has since passed. But ultimately, what is at the core of our conversation today is the fact that these platforms play a critical role in facilitating tourism activity in South Africa. Some would even argue that they make traveling for some more cost effective. So joining me to add the tourism sector's view on the issue is the CEO of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, Chifua Chivengwa. Welcome to the podcast, Chifua.
Thank you very much for having me.
Lovely to have you on the show, and hopefully you can just share some insights on tourism's perspective on everything that's been happening. Firstly, just to start off, what are the Tourism Business Council's views on the government's plans to introduce regulation to how accommodation sharing platforms operate in the short-term rental market? Do you welcome the initiative?
Well, you know, I have gone through, you know, the tourism green paper, and as you've said, the inputs were due today on the 31st. You know, the green paper on its own, you know, gives us the thoughts from government and giving us opportunity as a private sector to comment or to have an input or to suggest a different way of doing things when it comes to, you know, various policy, you know, matters. And is indeed a suggestion in the green paper that deals with the regulation of short-term rental. I think I must say that short-term rental has been in the country for quite a number of years, and the arrival of the technology platform like Airbnb, you know, to consolidate and modernize the short-term rental, you know, brought this whole issue into the surface. However, it has been in existence, and there are many others outside of Airbnb that do the same type of, you know, short-term rental using various platforms for people to be able to trade in it. I think number one, what we need to look at from the proposed regulation is to say you have now a segment of accommodation, which is short-term rental, which is largely dominated by small players who are, you know, SMMEs opening their homes to host people that wants to be, you know, to come to the country or that problem within the country in their spaces. The biggest question that we have is how do you now then ensure that, you know, there is uniformity in terms of, you know, the operations that are sitting within, you know, that particular market? Or do you just leave it and say, well, let's leave it and let's see what happens? So there has been discussion even pre-COVID of how do we then deal with the surge, you know, motivated by online platforms, you know, to how do we deal with these many rooms that are coming into the market that are operating within the market? How do we make sure that, you know, there is some form of quality assurance, number one, and some form of, in terms of where these places are and whether they're offering something that will not make our destination of Africa from quality point of view to not compete with others. So if we look at that, that's one thing, you know, on the side. The second part is the whole issue that you say, do we then limit this segment of the market in terms of the number of knives that they can sell per year? More importantly, how are we going to monitor that? Because it's one thing to have a regulation. It's another to be able to enforce the regulation. So in terms of limitation, from my point of view, is that you're introducing a regulation for a segment of the market. Are we then going to introduce a regulation for another segment of the market, i.e., are we going to introduce a regulation for B&Bs and guest houses, a regulation for hotels? Or are we saying that this part, you know, it's special and we need to have a regulation that deals with it because of how it has evolved? And that's something that we need to debate, you know, from the policy, you know, from the policy perspective, because there isn't one regulation that regulates hotels, as an example. There's not one. There are multiple regulations that one needs to follow, you know, to be regulated in that space. So if we are going to introduce another regulation, you know, for the segment of the same market, we need to have a debate about it and we need to understand the rationale around it. Or should we be introducing deregulation, as an example?
And Tufia, I mean, I went through the document myself and I've also read up on just other cases that have happened. I think it recently was the US that caught headlines specifically where it almost seemed like the leaders there were almost stifling the operations of your likes of Airbnb because of how drastic the regulations were. But if we're being honest, not all regulation is bad, is it? I mean, the idea of creating a systematic database of operators in the market and the extent of their participation can't be that bad of an idea, as it would be important for tracking purposes, for example, how the market is doing, is it improving, is it not improving, just economic data collection that would assist. However, at the same time, like I've mentioned, we've seen the possible extremes of this regulation from your New Yorks and the likes. So how then does the South African government strike the balance here and meet the objective of embracing the new technological advances in the sector, but within reasonable limits of regulation that would be acceptable for the private sector?
Yeah. So you see, South Africa is quite unique to the likes of New York. New York, you know, doesn't have land to build more apartments, you know, in Manhattan or Brooklyn, of Queens or in and around the area. We in South Africa has a unique, you know, situation because we have a stock of apartments that are being built in and around Johannesburg. Maybe in Cape Town, we may say that they sit enough closer, you know, to the city itself, and therefore, you know, that may not necessarily have the challenges that New York has or many other cities like London or, you know, they have. We still have a bit of land we are building up, and you know, there's still a lot of stock of apartments that, you know, could benefit, you know, by having people stay them, be it short term or longer term. So there is that one aspect. From the economic benefit point of view, you know, we still need to, well, not economic benefit, but from registration and keeping a database and making sure that everyone is it's known. You know, we don't have a single database at the moment that deals with everyone that operates within the tourism space, you know, needs to deposit information into. There isn't one. However, creating one is not a bad thing, as you've said, because it will help us with data collection. It will help us with making sure that we understand what's going on in that space. We understand, you know, the occupancy rate, as an example. We understand the economic impact. We understand average prices and so forth and so on. And we can do comparative analysis, you know, with other segments of accommodation to say if someone is paying X amount at a short-term rental, how much does it cost? If someone is staying for a night or two at a B&B, how much does it cost? And, you know, the rest goes on, you know, hotels, lodges, and whatnot. And we can also do analysis for various stars. And also, it can help us with collecting insights in terms of what is it that's in the minds of travelers when they book, so that we can readjust our marketing, we can readjust, you know, the things that we do in the source markets to make sure that we capitalize on that. Finally, everyone who travels into the country, does contribute into the economy of the country, regardless of where they stay, because they transport, they go to restaurants, they go on tours, they do all sorts of things. What's happening now is that the technology, you know, has, you know, reconfigured what things used to be and consolidated, you know, how things should be done by way of this, you know, technological platforms that we have now. And I think that working together, because we cannot do away with, you know, disruptions, because disruption or disruptive technology is a new way of doing things. We've seen this in transport, where there are many people who have entered the transport space. We know that people do benefit out of it. So the question is, how do we make sure that all of us who are operating in this space, you know, either deregulated or we introduce regulations that are going to be conducive for everyone else to operate, and that makes sure that, you know, no one, you know, company, because they are listed, they are disadvantaged because they have to follow 20 regulations, whereas one segment has to follow one regulation. And also we need to look at it and say, you know, do we then go and create a problem where possibly there's no problem? And that's why I'm saying the debate and discussion are going to be quite critical, you know, for all of us to get into, so that we can come out and say, this is, you know, the right regulation for the accommodation sector, as an example, that will make sure that, you know, everything is conducive, and that will ensure that we move into the right direction.
Chifua, just before we move on from the concerns that have been raised that have kind of motivated for this regulation, I just want to get your views on maybe concerns that, because people are owning so many Airbnbs, I think Airbnb, because it's been topical, but it's not necessarily confined to Airbnb, I must add, but people have been concerned that if someone is booking a home in a residential area and it's supposed to probably house 4 to 6 people, but then because of the tourism culture or activity, people are booking it for 10, groups of 10, more than the capacity that is allowed. And then there's also concerns around safety, that people, we don't know who's booking this place. This is a residential area. We can't track who is coming in and out. And there's been concerns about rowdiness. And then the other one has been related to the growth of Airbnbs in certain areas, driving out residents because of the push it has on pricing, home pricing. So people can't afford because of that tourism attraction. How does the Tourism Business Council address those concerns for residents that just want to live peacefully in their communities of choice?
Well, these are real concerns and real challenges that we have. And as you've said in the beginning, that, you know, the example of New York, you know, brings that out to say, well, you then live in an apartment block where there are people coming in and out. We need to look at, as an example, what are the rules? You know, if it's a body corporate, what are the rules of that particular body corporate? If it's a homeowner association, what are the rules? If it's a standalone home, it's a different story altogether. And I think that discussion in terms of, you know, how do we utilize the spaces that we have, and how do we make sure that those, the community that's staying in that particular, you know, place, you know, feel safe, I think is critical. So that's why this type of debates we need to have. Yes, there may be areas in the country where people feel that, you know, the price of rent is so high and is designed for, you know, those that are not from the country, that are bringing, you know, different currencies that are higher than ours, are benefiting, and they're staying in the city, so forth and so on. So we're going to have to strike a balance there to say, you know, and hence this whole issue around the restriction, perhaps, of the number of days where one can make their home available or their room available comes in. We've got to look into that. Do we have that problem in South Africa at the moment in a large scale? No. We may have this problem in various areas or corridors whereby you find that people love a place, and therefore, you know, the rent in that particular place, those who want to do long-term rent, it's too expensive. And the owners of that particular place wants people, you know, who are coming in as tourists or as short-term, you know, to stay in that particular place. We currently don't have that problem in general. However, we need to look out for it. And that's why this regulation is quite important, because this regulation addresses the future. We can't look at it for now. We have to look at it into the future to say, whatever we do now, is it going to address the issues into the future, or is it going to just keep the issues the way they are, and we're going to find ourselves trying to figure out a new regulation? That's something that we need to think about and that we need to solve.
And then what then becomes the impact on the activity in the tourism sector should government, obviously this is not going to happen tomorrow overnight, but should government decide to implement these strict, stringent regulations on this developing or new technologies like Airbnbs and other platforms, what is the consequence of that decision?
Well, the consequence is that you may find someone saying that, you know, well, I'm going to stay at a B&B for one night, I'm going to go to short-term rental for three nights, and so forth and so on. I'm not a big fan of restricting people or restricting people's choices. I think what we ought to do is to look at how not to restrict people's choices. We need to deal with the real challenge, which is the challenge of how do we make sure that the industry is regulated in a uniformed way. Right now, if you have a regulation that's for a specific segment of the market, it's not uniform. It addresses one segment of the market. The next thing, the hotels or the large, you know, hotel groups can say, well, we feel like we need a regulation that says XYZ, then we're going to have another one. So how do we make sure that people have freedom to choose whatever they need to choose? And how do we make sure that, you know, in their choices, we deal with the issues that pains us, not in front of them, but behind the scenes, so that we can solve the issues of regulation, whether it's 10 nights or 12 nights, which I don't think should be done, because no one has the mechanism to monitor that. And no one should go to someone's house and say, you said that you're going to open your room for only 20 nights a year. We believe you've opened it up for more nights. Because the issue here is not whether there is a Airbnb as a technology platform that can restrict them. The issue here is that there will be more and more technology platforms that are going to come through in the same space. How do we then control that? It's possible.
Chifua Chivengwa of TBCSA right there, sharing the body's views on government's plans to start possibly regulating the short-term rental market, and also just adding that equal to implementing regulation to the market, government needs to think about how to enforce such regulation in a very scattered tourism sector. Thank you for your time, Chifua.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms, and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_A, or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye, and do not forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.